Logan, you gave yourself a 78, so that's like C-plus territory, right?
Did I say 78? Maybe I did.
I think I said B-minus. I think I was...
Oh, you were generous.
Yeah. I mean, C-plus and B-minus are effectively the same. Tell that to a guy who went to engineering school.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. We are back. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends and lovers about football and lifestyle. You can find us on the internet at www.thewheelroute.com. You can send us emails to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Google Pod Center, etc., etc. Instagram as well, Wheel Route Podcast. DMs, as always, wide open. My name is Logan Whitehouse, coming to you guys live from so is there thunder outside? Rainy Stewart, Florida.
Not to spoil my location, but there's some beautiful Florida thunderstorms.
Kind of odd, a winter thunderstorm situation kind of rumbling over us right now, which is lovely, softening up the conditions. We love that. I'm on Twitter at @LogOnTheDawn if I didn't say that, and you know, I'm stoked. I'm fully torqued to be back. Who else is here?
My name is Jordan Schenk. I am in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where it's been cold. We had a weird visit to the 60s today, which I, you know, shamefully did not get to enjoy because I was helping the shareholders create value. I'm on the social medias at Schenk Jordan. Logan, I know you have made a recent acquisition in the top of the bag, so this may be too late, but I wanted to bring to your attention that the new Cobra drivers feature 33 points of configuration tweaking.
Wow.
I don't know dangerous. If you knew this going into your purchase. And
I'd probably get all my money back if I take my other one back in at this point.
Yeah, if the plastic wrap's still on it. But yeah, good to be back, ready to pick some more winners and stay above 500.
That's right.
Love that. My name is Jason Crick. I, as alluded to earlier, have taken up residence down in Florida with at the White House house for a couple of days.
We call it the White House.
Just the White House?
Straight up.
Okay. So we'll stick with that.
1600 PAF, you know.
Just giving it out there to the universe. Wild.
Yeah. Nobody knows that.
It's so secret. Yeah, down here as the Dukes prepare for the Boca Raton Bowl.
Go Dukes.
Just hanging out. So
it's good to have an excuse as any to come down to South Florida in the middle of the winter. So,
well, wouldn't I? I am also on the socials at Jason Crick. And excited to be back pre-first games of the 12-team playoff with you guys.
Yes, we needed to get this one in.
Which we've talked about so much this year as of last week.
As of last week, we're locked in on the playoff matchups. Gentlemen, intern, do you want to say hello?
Hello.
But the intern is here as well. She's checking in from across the room. The intern, aka Santa's little helper, aka Santa's intern.
Yep.
She's having.
I know people have missed hearing you say, "May the roses ever be in your face."
Oh gosh!
Yeah. Blast from the past. Wow,
what a throwback! Make me start. It's gonna make me act up a little bit.
If you know, you know. Situation.
I'm ready to draft some idiots, Logan. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Give me a bunch of Blakes and Collins and V-neck wearing blockheaded looking dudes. I'm ready to go. Are we drinking anything delicious this evening, Jordan?
Well, delicious. Still, jury's still out on delicious, but it is picking winners for me. I did acquire a just lemon case of, not case, eight pack. They don't sell them in sixers. They sell them in eights.
Which throws off the price point because you have to remember that it's eight. So you're like, it's a little expensive, but you're like, you're also, it's for eight. It's not
for
six.
Like, I bought it at Target too. So it was a little more expensive and it wasn't on sale. Yeah. And
you really walked
convenience got me. I had to go there for something else and they got me. I know. Yeah. Lemon Spindrift, Tito's, Ice, same cup I've been going 4-1 with for the past 3 weeks. Suck it, haters.
Respect. I have what is apparently, unbeknownst to me, my Florida beer, a Treasure Kolsch from Walking Tree Brewery.
You know, Jason loves a Kolsch.
I do love a Kolsch.
If there's one thing we know about Jason is that he loves a Kolsch.
Hey, I'm right there with him.
Oh, yeah. The eyes got big.
It's good, but he left the same four pack in my fridge last time he visited.
I had no idea.
I mean, listen, there's not that many. It's a small place down here. It's not a ton going on. So
I don't imagine Kolsches are super big, like, in hot, humid Florida either.
Probably not.
Well, only, the Treasure Kolsch.
Only true sickos.
From Walking Tree Brewery is a good one.
It is.
Yeah. Got to hand it to him. I'm drinking a Coral Heads India Pale Ale from Tampa Bay Brewing Company. It's good.
All right.
Have you ever had that before?
I don't think I've had the Coral Heads.
Yeah.
There's one called Screamin' Reels that's from the brewery in
I think that was an option.
Delray, and it sucks.
So, okay, I'm glad,
glad
you, I opted
glad out. You didn't choose that one. Would not be drinking Screamin' Reels IPAs on this podcast.
That's a drink, though, because that's a great beer name.
It is a really good beer name. It's
disappointing with the quality, like.
Sorry about it. Excellent. All right. Well, we're back. We're here in Florida. Are you enjoying yourself, Jason?
I am thoroughly enjoying myself.
Put you on blast.
I'll sing the praises of, but I guess, southeastern Florida.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Got out, played around the golf yesterday. It was delightful. Got a couple Florida showers to soften the ground up. Got to get spinny with some wedges when I found the fairway, which was, you know, from time to time.
Did you get a random pairing, or were you just plowing through it solo?
Solo dolo. Just okay. Rolled out at like 12:15.
Yeah.
Just
what a dream on a Monday. Yeah. I cannot imagine. I would have been beaming.
It was the best. I had the Bluetooth speaker going, was just rolling. Nothing could hurt me.
Tarzan soundtrack?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exclusively Phil Collins.
Tempo Town, baby.
That's right. The boys have a big one on tap for the morning.
That's right.
We're heading down to the park.
Hell yeah.
Going to have my first taste of the place. Looking forward to that. So, yeah, just a lovely week so far.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Do we know what the wind forecast looks like for tomorrow?
It has been blustery and raining in like, weird little pop-ups.
Yeah.
So, it looks like it's going to rain at some point tomorrow. I'm hoping there's no thunder. There's some thunder going on right now.
I think your conference puck picked that up.
We are conference calling the thunder in.
Yeah, it was pretty windy yesterday on Monday when I played.
Which
was not good for it was a spinny driver day. Jordan's seen many of those, but wasn't good for that. But whatever we get, we're going to take it tomorrow. It's going to be lovely.
Yeah, that's the issue with when the weather is super nice down here in the winter is there's a propensity for some windy days, you know, going to eat them up occasionally. So Jordan and I battled about four straight gale force wind days recently. So
yeah.
you're owed one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We'll talk coaches. Let's talk the coaching carousel. The coaching carousel continues to spin, guys. There's been some developments. Maybe we will go in order of importance here and save the conversation once for last. Rich Rod, we were getting at this. West Virginia, he's back.
He's back.
Back in a big way.
Very strange. I probably have the most connection to WVU of anybody here. I would have never expected it. I was in Morgantown like 2 weeks after that infamous Pitt game and genuinely would have said it's unsafe for him to be here. Shocking that he's back.
Yeah.
But the vibes seem good, I guess. So good for them.
As good as they can be for Rich Rodriguez, who's kind of old at this point.
He's getting up there. I think he's in his 60s, right?
Long in the tooth. Still getting it done, though. It seems like he's still doing Rich Rod. Like, he's still running pure uncut Rich Rod offense wherever he goes.
Doing very well at Jack State up until now. I think he ran
and honestly, he had the best Arizona seasons we've seen anybody have in recent memory.
He went to the Fiesta Bowl at Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. That's crazy. That's crazy to find out on this podcast, college football podcast. But anyhow, so I mean, I guess I would say good for West Virginia. Maybe they got a hometown discount.
Decent chance.
Who's to say?
It's no Jimbo. It's the year of the return. So.
Right. Yes, it is. All right. Speaking of the return, Dan Mullen returning to the game in Las Vegas because nothing says – Vegas, like Dan Mullen on the prowl. Jason, you informed us that he's getting paid double what Barry Odom is getting paid.
The contract seems to be is double what Barry Odom left making, which is kind of jarring. But
backing up the Brinks truck, I'm sure he's going to be super involved in recruiting and NIL efforts as he's wont to do.
There will be multiple on offense.
No, I mean, I think it's like the cliche, right? Like, it's good to have Dan Mullen around. College football is better when Dan Mullen's like running an offense somewhere, running it up. They had the go-go. If they have a lot of the go-go guys there, I think Mullen will probably throw it around the yard, Kyle Trask style. So we'll be ready to roll. I'm excited to see it. I think he's a really good play caller.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if his DC hire has come through yet, but that's a significant
Grantham's off the board, which is a shame. So I don't know.
Here we go. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he potentially does there, though. I'm also selfishly going to miss having him as a TV voice.
That's true. He was very good on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And news has come across the wire today. We talked before this broadcast that App State was hiring Zach Arnett as defensive coordinator. He now seems to be Las Vegas bound.
Yes, Zach Arnett also.
Former Mississippi State head coach.
Did they overlap at all when Mullen was at Mississippi State?
You know, that's a good question.
They might have a little bit of
some
ties there.
I would guess, yeah.
Stark Vegas to Vegas.
Rides deep.
Hey, the Gators are going to pull this off.
They might, yeah. They're looking like it.
All right. We'll keep it moving here. Oh, Dave Clawson, architect of the claw fence and the long mesh, is retiring. He resigned.
He resigned and is taking another position in the athletics department.
At Wake?
Golden parachutes are golden parachutes. Yeah,
what else is there to do that's golden parachute worthy at Wake?
Oh, it's the Steve Spurrier role.
But it's Wake.
People go to games.
But they got like 1,200.
They're going to be paying them anyways. They might as well have them play golf.
They're a private school, right? So there's money all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's no shortage of money at Wake, that's for sure. But I guess, like, I mean, what's he? He's going to be just like emeritus assistant to the AD. You know what? That does sound nice. I would do that.
There's some good golf in the Carolinas.
Yeah, he'd be at Pinehurst and Tobacco Road.
Jordan, how does this make you feel? You know, one of the stalwarts of the ACC, a thorn, a burr in your proverbial ass, moved on.
Yeah, certainly. I was kind of hoping that this was a parting of ways and that maybe he would want to call offense for somebody else in the ACC potentially. it doesn't seem to be the case. So I'm like, I don't know what Wake as a football brand has to offer in terms of going out and getting a coach. They're kind of a little late to the dance floor here in terms of candidates. Like,
yeah,
if they had done this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think making a run at Dan Mullen would have been really smart if you're Wake Forest. But it, like, have they named his successor? Is it going to be someone from on staff, or is it going to be open search?
Could I interest them in a slightly used Tony Elliott?
I believe the search is ongoing. There are some interesting names. The most notable one, particularly to this podcast, has been one or two mentions of Robert Chesney, James Madison head coach.
Okay.
Bobby Cheese.
And I don't know.
They call him Bobby Cheese.
That's what they call him.
I'm going to start calling him that. Jeez Louise. What have I been doing?
He's got like three nicknames for him already. He's been here 8 months.
Hot Bob, Handsome Bob, yeah. Bobby Cheese.
Bobby Cheese is the best one. Bobby Cheddar. Bobby Cheddar. Anyways, it's an interesting look for them. I think it would be bold on both sides, if that makes sense.
It would be a risky decision
for both of them. I think it's a risky decision for Wake. He's, you know, 8 wins at JMU is a good season, but he probably has some stuff to prove before and jump to the ACC. I also think Bob Chesney's not 60. He doesn't need a paycheck job so he can retire. Right. He's climbing through the ranks.
What is he, like 38, 37?
He's either late 30s or just turned 40.
And prime hot.
I think if he wants to keep climbing, I genuinely think being at JMU is a better spot than being at Wake. You're really betting on yourself at Wake. Whereas if you're at JMU, you can win for a couple of years, you have an infinitely better shot at the playoff at JMU than you do at Wake. You can wait a couple of years and then you get a like ACC job where you can succeed, a North Carolina or something to that effect, and you can turn that into the Tennessee job or something like that.
I feel like Clawson got plenty of looks and opportunities to go to other jobs.
I think that's
though.
Right.
So, I mean, and he might have been unique in that he maintained like
he succeeded at Wake in a different era, if we're being honest.
I mean, I guess that's probably true, but I feel like Wake hasn't been terrible even since Grobe was there. Haven't bottomed out as bad as
that's
some
right.
other
they,
schools have.
Been
I mean, they haven't been Duke.
Yeah. So anyways, should be an interesting one, and we'll probably set off another couple coaching searches, assuming they go with an established
coach. Who the Duke's target when Bobby Cheddar takes it
that's
on the road?
We're going to start that list. Tune in next week for the hot board.
Will Muschamp, maybe? God, if the Duke's head were Will Muschamp, I would love that.
Why would you, Bob? That's me.
Because someone else needs to come into my kitchen.
Someone else would know my pain.
So you were just saying this last night that you were unsure if you were going to be happy for
that's
me
true, yeah.
heading into an abundantly hopeful Gators offseason.
I said part of me is very excited for you because you deserve this because you've Shawshanked your way through some crap. And part of me is just like, God, he's going to be insufferable.
Oh, guys, so. I am prepared. The lies will be flowing this offseason. We might have to do some
pods. We're turning up the lies.
I can flow some lies out into the world.
Well, you need to release.
The entire offensive line is coming back.
So
Lagway is coming back. Boss coming back.
We're
going to run the damn ball. I'll tell you that. We are running the damn ball. So, anyhow. All right. Mike Vick, officially the head coach at Norfolk State.
Good for him.
A true redemption story here. I don't know. We'll see. What's Norfolk State's deal, Jason? You're the resident.
They're not very good at football. They're a small school. They're very good at basketball. They're not very good at football. It's tough to be good at football at Norfolk State. But I'm very torn between, like, would really genuinely love to see him do well because, like, Mike Vick – turning Norfolk State into a winner would be like a pretty incredible thing.
You know, he's going to wear the tour visor too, which I love.
Mike
Vick looks so good in a tour visor.
But it would be incredible for like the whole 757. And like, I want that to happen. I also think there's like a 20% chance of that happening.
Bring Allen Iverson.
So has he,
director.
Yeah. Pardon my ignorance to Mike Vick lately, but has he been coaching in some capacity?
I thought I heard that he was involved, but it might have been like on the high school end.
I think he does like some like individual coaching. Like, I don't know that he's coached a team.
Okay. He was
like,
an advisor for the Atlanta Legends in 2019.
Who is that?
Is that a
I want to say that's Arita, but hold on.
Wow.
While we're speaking on former quarterbacks involved in the high school circuit, shout out to Teddy Bridgewater.
Winning
a state title with his alma mater.
That's right.
Apparently just like dumped points on opposition.
They won 41-10 or 41-0 in the title game, and then today, and then just announced that he is making a comeback to the NFL. Like,
did he?
Like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, a week.
Good for him.
big week.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Oh, yeah.
Little off season when he's not coaching high school ball. He's just gonna try to hop on an NFL team, pick up a couple paychecks.
Just some spending money. Some
I can't hate that.
Money.
I cannot hate that at all. That's for sure. All right. So, I mean, I think I would say cautiously optimistic about Mike Vick. Think could be good. I've seen that they're allegedly going to be surrounding him with a veteran coaching staff. It's Norfolk State. We'll see what that means. But really, the bell of the ball here.
Let's talk it. Let's do it.
We kind of, I think, poo-pooed this when we spoke 10 days ago. But Mr. Bill Belichick has...
No, wait, before we get to this, I thought you were going to mention the other bell of the ball, which is the go-go offense. Going to Sacramento State.
Oh, is that where it ended up going?
Was rumored to go. Yeah. So Brennan Marion got hired as the head coach at Sacramento State.
The go-go offense has come so far since it was
pioneered. The go-go offense started William and Mary or Howard, wherever Mike London.
William and Mary under Mike London. Yeah. Oof, boy.
So don't let it be said that Mike London did not make significant contributions to college football.
He impacted the history of the sport.
What is he doing now? Is he still coaching?
He's a cop, I think.
Used to be.
That's super mean of me. That was real bitchy. Oh, he's still at William & Mary.
Oh, he's just still coaching.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
They went 7-5 this year. Good for them.
Huh, that's awesome. All right, let's get to it. Bill Belichick.
Oh, also, before we do this one, I'm going to stay out west.
My favorite thing that happens every episode.
Yeah, go ahead. After this, I'm done. I promise.
No, you're fine.
With coaching, at least. I want to, because I know everyone's interested, I want to touch base on the Utah State staff that Bronco Mendenhall is putting together.
Right.
Yes.
We're just going to deal with the elephant in the room. Nick Howell has followed Bronco.
Poor
Utah State.
Okay. All right.
You hate that for Utah State.
So we're eyeing overs in the Aggies early games next year. I think those are going to have some value. Utah State's going to give up a ton of points. The second point I wanted to make, the assistant coaching staff to this point is littered with former UVA guys, which on the one hand, I love.
Like, do you remember some guys here?
Love to see who's getting involved. I also think it kind of speaks to Broncos, like, loyal to a fault, takes his guys, keeps his guys, like, will not let his guys go type deal. So just throwing some former Cavalier names out. These are some deep cuts for the real ones.
Yes.
Kirk Garner is the running backs coach. Matt Johns will be coaching tight ends. Dante Wilkins will be coaching the defensive line. Charles Mack will be a secondary coach. Joe Spaziani will be director of operations.
The Spaz.
Evan Butts is the director of player personnel and chief of staff.
Evan Butts, was he? Is he?
He was the tight end.
Yeah, he was the tight end.
So, yeah, I feel like I remember Butts as a tight end. Yeah.
Was he at Michigan too? Or was that his brother?
May have been his brother.
Jake Butts, right?
Maybe.
Wow.
Or maybe no relation.
Might be.
The Butts lineage runs deep at UVA and Broncos through Broncos coaching tree for sure.
Yeah. So I'll be checking the pulse of Utah State every so often next season. But
okay,
that's what the listeners
before
want.
We got into the meat of the carousel, I wanted to make sure.
I dig that. I am kind of fascinated by Bronco Mendenhall, like, going on a sojourn for 2 years because, like, the pressure cooker that was UVA was just too much for him to, like, somehow parlay 1 year of, like, mid results at New Mexico into a Utah State job that, like, has hired some dudes at their time and has been kind of good. And
Jordan Love went to Utah State.
Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, so I guess he's Broncos just fully back.
Yeah, he's trending.
We love that. All right. I'm going to get to Bill Belichick now.
Yes, we are. I
officially
agree.
In the fold in Chapel Hill, Chapel Bill, as they're calling him. What is this?
What are they doing?
What are we doing? This is going to be such a...
After having some time to think on this, I am inclined to believe this does not end up being a vanilla tenure or time in Chapel Hill. I think it's going to be either extremely quick and he leaves for an NFL job potentially before the start of next season.
I could see that happening. Yeah.
And kind of has, like, super finessed North Carolina into making Steve Belichick his son, the head coach at North Carolina,
which is like,
is that actually a thing?
I don't know. It could be.
It's rumored to
be.
It's going to
be on the staff.
Apparently, he presented like a 400-page dossier
manifesto.
These are my demands.
He did deny that at the press conference.
Sure, he denied it.
I don't know.
Right? Who's gonna admit?
A lot of the stuff that it was said was in the dossier was like stuff that all big programs already do.
Yeah.
It's like, player development, hire an NFL style GM.
We're going to start a nutritional program. Yeah. Like, okay. It's 2003. So, yeah.
But Chip Kelly called. He wants his notes back, Bill.
So my thinking is either, like, there's going to be one or two owners this offseason who think they're going to get Ben Johnson from the Lions and they don't. And they're going to panic and they're going to offer Bill Belichick a ton of money and they're going to pay his $10 million buyout comes before June.
Yeah, I love that.
And they're going to win the press conference.
Super bummed.
And the news cycle, right? The other side of it is, I think Belichick is such a like control freak and like wants 1,000% autonomous direction of his program that Chapel Hill suits him really well, because he's the biggest whistle in the room and he'll be able to do what he wants, and there's not going to be a meddling owner or front office. He will get to run the entire show, and maybe that's how he spends his next 5 to 7 years and does okay with it. So I don't know. I think you flip a coin as to how likely either of those outcomes are, but I don't think there's going to be a middle ground of like midway into year three, he's 2-6 and they decide to cut ties and go in a different direction.
Yeah. I guess I come down to like, I think Bill Belichick, there's going to be a time where Bill Belichick is sitting across the field from Mario Cristobal. All right. And it's going to be like, has there ever been a greater gulf between like game managers on one football field,
if you will.
Right. Than those two. However, that being said, I don't necessarily think like Bill Belichick has a whole lot of like new inventive, like winning in the margins is a lot harder to do in college football, where it's kind of just like brute forcing Jimmys and Joes a lot of the time. And like, they might be very well prepared for teams, but like, I don't know, it's just like kind of weird. Like Bill Belichick's going to be going to Charlottesville to play UVA and you know, just, yeah. it's probably is not going to have a team that's like that dramatically better than UVA. Maybe they'll be better prepared or something like that. I just like, I don't
tackle better.
Probably. God exactly. Only hopes that they would tackle better. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what kind of staff he brings and what kind of like system, I guess I would say they run. And like, if there's anything that like you remember about like peak Belichick teams is that, you know, they were always very well prepared. They made great halftime adjustments and they like always like took away like the team's primary best option. Right. You know, yeah. that was kind of like the hallmark of the Belichick thing was like, you know, if insert Megatron or whatever is on the other team, like he's not going to be the one that beats us. We're going to make him beat us with other people. They might not win all the games, but so I don't know. I'm curious from like just a pure football standpoint, but like I can't imagine that like Bill Belichick is going to be doing a whole lot of back slapping and hey and howdies and cocktail parties. Like, I mean,
but how like, funny would it
like
be?
Mac was made for that, right? And this is like this is still the South, and like doing some personality football guy stuff goes a long way. So we'll see. I mean, of course we'll see. But and then maybe because his buyout goes down to $1 million after June of 2025, which is odd, maybe he's coaching an NFL team next year. That doesn't really matter. This is all just a longer version of the power play, and North Carolina is really screwed. But I don't know. I feel
which
like
would be truly a shame.
Yes, we would hate to see North Carolina get truly screwed like that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm curious. Like, I think he's obviously an excellent coach and especially an excellent defensive like coordinator. But I think is he going to be better than Nick Saban at this job? Like, I doubt it, right? Like, I mean, and Nick Saban was essentially Bill Belichick for college, right? So
when we saw like the Patriots with Belichick without Tom Brady for several years, that was not a great.
He was not a, he's not like a plus personnel guy, right?
Yeah. So like, I'm kind of interested to see like if you don't absolutely knock it out of the park talent evaluation wise, how's it gonna go?
Did you see who North? Just changing lines here. Did you see who Shane at South Carolina hired as his offensive coordinator?
I think
since Dowell Loganes went on to greener pastures and more rolling hills, he hired Mike Shula.
That's right.
What has Mike Shula been doing? Has he still been
coaching? Up to no good.
He was Alabama's head coach like during the demise of Alabama like a while ago, pre-Saban.
Scandalous years.
Right. So, anyhow. All right, are we done with Belichick?
Well, so you guys talk about the on-field stuff. I think this entire thing is going to be fascinating. I think it's going to give us several moments of just very hilarious things. Whether it's like a kid like skips class or something like that, or like just stuff like that, like the mundane behind the scenes college football things. that never happen in the NFL. I think it's going to lead to some, just some all-time Bill Belichick media moments. And I'm genuinely
curious. Does Bill Belichick have all-time media moments, though?
These aren't all-time media moments like Greg Popovich has all-time media moments. These are all-time media moments of just like, man, he would rather drive that ice pick into his skull than do any more of these questions.
Yeah, I just like, I feel like there could be definitely some tight-lipped Patriots, you know, whisper kind of stuff going on there that like you just don't ever hear anything, and it's just grumpy.
Well, it's like we're only now hearing about some of the Patriots stuff because like Edelman's got a podcast,
yeah, and
Gronk gets on a podcast every while.
He gets liquored up and gets on a podcast. Yeah. And just can't control himself.
So it could be 8 or 9 years before we hear any like Belichick Carolina stories.
Yeah, I mean, like I if Deion Sanders is not like going in home and recruiting, like there's no way Bill Belichick is is pounding the pavement and like groveling at the feet of a 17-year-old Chad, who's like a 5-star quarterback, you know, prospect, right?
The funniest was what they got their first signing in the transfer portal, and there's the picture of him signing with Belichick standing like kind of lurking next to him, and somebody cropped it. Like Belichick just looks like typical grumpy, and he was just like, just sign the fucking paper. It's going to be great. It's going to be so funny. I have no idea if it'll work, but I agree with Jordan that it's going to be pretty impressive, or it's going to be just like, well, that was a disaster. And
I'm just telling you, like, they might steal a game, though. They'll play like Miami and just be totally outmatched across the board, and just Belichick's going to, like, exploit some weird college rule and get 27 extra plays for his offense. And, you know,
Mario Cristobal
is going to just be so sweaty and
first down
combusting. Yeah, so. All right, let's go to Bowl Mania. Let's do a little Bowl Mania.
Sure.
Do you have any transfer portal news, Jordan, you want to get out while we're here? The transfer portal has been popping.
No. I think I'm pretty ignorant, blissfully ignorant to the portal. All right.
UVA picked up a quarterback I saw from North Texas. This will be
one from Nebraska.
Third or fourth.
I do
school,
know that much.
So shout out to that kid's transcript, getting him in all these schools.
Yeah. Get it done.
People say it's hard to transfer to Virginia, Jason. I don't know if you heard that.
What?
All right. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. It's actually going on right now as we record this podcast. We have it on in the room. Memphis, West Virginia. West Virginia, no coach. Memphis.
Is Rich Rod lurking in a luxury suite somewhere?
There's a decent chance. I don't think we've seen a shot of him yet.
Haven't seen him yet.
I would assume that's the role.
I kind of feel like if I got named the coach before the bowl game like this, like I would just want to coach. Just, you know what? Give me the sticks.
Let me see your playbook.
Let me see how
I'll browse through this.
Yeah, like, what we got here? Let's do page 4, quadrant 3.
Let's spin the wheel.
Right.
It's like the pick a club. So single club challenge. Yeah. We're gonna spin the wheel.
Yeah, it'd be kind of funny. But shout out to Frisco. Some interesting crowd shots going on right now in this game.
Some Texas hoodies at this game.
Getting super excited about this one. But what I am getting excited about is the Boca Raton Bowl.
That's right.
Tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. in Boca Raton, Florida, which is just could not be more on brand. The Dukes of James Madison welcome the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
Hilltoppers, yeah. Big Red was at the pep rally tonight.
So was Jason, evidently.
As was I.
So, how was the fan experience at the Boca Bowl?
It's fine.
Was the full cast right?
For those of you who listened to the full cast, and more specifically, Holly Anderson, break down the issues underlying the Boca Raton Bowl, she is, as usual, correct. It is a bit sterilized, being one of the bowls that ESPN owns. Mm. Not a lot of character, not a lot of flavor. Still a good time. The place they did it down in Boca was plenty of bars and establishments around. Everybody had a good time. But a little bit clean for you know, you always hear about like, oh, the local character, that's why the bowls need to continue, that's why they're part of college football. And then you see this and you're just like, now you guys just want some money. And so but the game should be fascinating, mostly because we don't really know who's playing or what's about to happen. So
So I'm seeing the Dukes favored by a clean touchdown plus the extra point.
Okay.
How do we feel about that line, Jason?
I think that's probably fair. I think, to my knowledge...
Let me rephrase the question. What's your pick?
Given that?
Yeah.
I'd probably take JMU, but that's probably my bias coming into play. It's pretty close. I would take JMU.
Oh, the Hilltoppers still running, like, throw it all over the place. Go, go, go.
I think so. And so therein lies the issue. So JMU's starting quarterback is injured. He will not be playing.
Rodney Landers.
Correct, Rodney Landers. So he's backed up by Drew Dunsick.
And Matt Lazat.
But the Western Kentucky has like 23 players in the portal. Nobody's sure. There seems to be some reports of like some of them are going to play, some of them are not. Western Kentucky also...
These kids who are in the portal and aren't playing are cowards.
All right, let them know.
Business decision.
It's a good chance to get on tape is all I'm saying.
Thank you. I mean, like, listen, if you could be in the portal, I got no problem with that. But you should still play in the game.
I don't disagree with you. Western Kentucky has one of the worst rushing defenses in the country. They gave up, like, between their last game and the Conference USA Championship game, they gave up, like, 600, 700 yards on the ground.
Mm.
So my hope is that JMU...
That's Todd Grantham's music.
Sees no need to air Nick the ball Howell's. Out. which is why I think JMU will have the edge. But a touchdown does seem... pretty correct, given JMU's relative inconsistency, particularly on the road this year.
Dukes, some classic edge lords here. Got lots of edge.
is that what that means?
I think so.
Okay.
The edgiest. I'm excited. I'm excited to see this one.
Yeah.
Take this in live and in person. Hopefully it'll be raining. Just the vibes will be through the roof and at FAU Stadium. This is not the first time that I'll have attended the Boca
Bowl. I was going to say, you're a
I saw Terry Bowden coached Akron team. Mm. Play back when it was the Cherubundi Tart Cherry Bowl or whatever.
It was a Lane Train, right?
Yeah. FAU was home team in that one against Lane Kiffin. I bought a get on board the Lane Train shirt on my way out of the stadium. Mm-hmm. So, wow, what a memory. Yeah. What a moment in time.
Times.
Excited to see some of the setups around the stadium. I seem to recall there being like a lot of like Jewish culture, like, activations going on the sidelines.
Great. That'll go wonderfully with.
I mean, which is very, very Boca, very on board.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'll go wonderfully with JMU fans and Western Kentucky fans.
Nothing says JMU. Nothing says Bobby Cheddar like spinning the cradle.
I know it.
So, all right. Well, we'll be there. We'll report live from the scene of the crime. Unless Bobby Cheddar's been named to the head coach at Wake Forest before then.
Who's to say? Or mid-game. We could do a live hit from the car on the way back.
What a moment that would be. Jason just imploding, really coping so hard in the car. would be art. Speaking of art, the Art of Sport LA Bowl is coming up.
What a segue.
You're
such a professional.
Cal versus UNLV, no Dan Mullen. Again, an opportunity for a coach to come in and just start firing off.
See what he's worked
for. PS4, play it up a little bit.
An opportunity for the fans to like base a bunch of opinions on a bowl performance. Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't think Mullen's got what it takes to coach the Ribs.
We're paying him how much?
Exactly. Cal versus UNLV. This game doesn't do a ton for me. The go-go is gone. At UNLV, sorry. And Cal is amongst the more boring teams that I've witnessed this year.
I would agree with that.
Jaynaud did not have a great year. Probably needs to come back, get some more film. And I think their quarterback, Mr. Mendoza, the Miami native, is in the portal as well, or at least was. So tough. This is in SoFi, though, so they'll get to see a cool stadium.
Yeah, good for them.
All right, Thursday, we got the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, a staple, Georgia Southern versus Sam Houston. Jason, do we have news on Sam Houston's front? They have a new coach?
Oh, we did. I immediately closed the tab.
Phil Longo.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cop.
The prodigal son has returned.
Right. The buzz cut. Another buzz cut making his way to the big whistle. We love to see that. Shout out Butch Jones. Got nothing here. Georgia Southern, Sam Houston.
Georgia Southern's a pretty good team this year. They still got their offense is humming. They're still old USC coach guy. Call the plays.
Clay Helton.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Should be pretty good Georgia Southern team. And Sam Houston had a really good year. I think this was their first FBS year.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the speaker picked that up. That would be very funny.
Probably not too bad.
Yeah, fair enough.
We have an itchy dog. There's an itchy dog on the premises.
That's right.
She's made guest appearances in the past.
Yeah. So anyways, that could be a pretty interesting game. It might be a pretty pointsy game. Those are two pretty good offenses.
You would love to see that in a bowl game.
Yeah, for once.
I just saw Memphis punt on 4th and 3 from the plus like 42-yard line in a bowl game.
Dark times.
And I was kind of like,
maybe they're letting their punter get some film. Maybe he was on the fence about opting out and decided to play.
Ryan Silverfield is giving it to the punter. We love that. All right. Friday, December 20th, the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. Ohio.
Get some afternoon games.
Yes. Right. Ohio versus Jacksonville State at noon on a Friday. And I got, again, Nubs beat our guy Rich Rod, no longer with Jacksonville State.
That's true. One would think they would keep the offense similar, but
the rare Gamecocks versus Bobcats matchup here. Timeless. So we love that. And at 3:30, we go to Raymond James Stadium, the Pirate Stadium, and we get to check out the Gators. They play Tulane. Ostensibly down to their third quarterback due to some portaling.
I think that's right. But retain their head
but
coach.
But retain their head coach, which is interesting.
Job do we think he's waiting for?
I think he's doing the Billy Napier playbook of, like, wait on a more choice SEC job to come open.
Or just a better cycle.
I think if you play the odds next year, there's probably going to be a trove of SEC jobs that come open because there was like none this year. So next year you got to think there's gonna be like five or six,
like four or five immediately on the hot seat.
Right.
And then,
LSU could be open next year.
Yeah.
Oh man. Summerall. Anyhow,
Summerall.
The Gators play Tulane. I mean, I'm always interested to see what's been going on. Doesn't really seem like the Billy Napier practice for these bowl game situation goes very well. Florida has been like exceedingly flat for most bowl games, but you know, whatever. We'll see how it goes. It'd be nice if Lagway is healthy to see if he can move around a little bit and slang it. But other than that, I think the Gators know what they're up against. It's been portal season for sure. They've been hosting a lot of people. Ooh, shovel pass touchdown in whatever this bowl game is, the Frisco Bowl.
Yeah. Good for Memphis.
So go Gators, and that leads us into the first playoff game, actually.
That's right.
Shall we go to Pickville?
Let's go to Pickville.
Let's do it.
So
it is
as we discussed at length on this program throughout the year, this is the first season with a 12-team playoff. This Friday night / Saturday triple header represents the first round. These games will be played at on campus or on location sites. These are not neutral field events. There will be a clear home team. We're going to start Friday night.
They aren't allowed to do any of their like atmosphere stuff, to my knowledge.
Well, what does that mean, Jason?
So they can't do, like, I believe. Like
they can't cheer for their boys?
I believe
Penn State
they
can't do Mo Bamba.
Something like that sort of thing. I believe if they play one intro video, they have to play both intro videos.
Trophies? Are you kidding me?
That's what I've been led to believe.
Please.
So we'll find out.
We'll
keep an eye on that.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, I hate that. I'm just going to be honest.
Friday night, 8 p.m., we have the battle for the state of Indiana and a trip to the next round of the playoff. Indiana is at Notre Dame. Touchdown Jesus, favored by 7.5. Jason, let's hear it.
Screw it. Give me Indiana. I don't even like, I think this is probably a bad pick, but.
Yeah, I would agree.
Thanks, man.
Brutal.
I think Notre Dame's going to win, but like it feels Indiana's can keep this close. And I don't know that Notre Dame has the offense to blow out Indiana the same way that Ohio State did. And I think Indiana's going to struggle with that defense, but I think this is probably a low-scoring game, which lends itself just in terms of probability towards being within a touchdown. Give me the Hoosiers. Screw it. Whatever.
Love it.
All right, I'm going to take Notre Dame here.
you can both say it. It's fine.
All right.
I don't blame it.
Yeah, no, I can see a lot of arguments for Indiana. The advanced stats likes Indiana. I like what I feel is a more proven commodity at home at night. The mythical powers of Touchdown Jesus, Mike Golick, things of that nature.
Mike Golick.
Honestly, that's a pretty solid truck. Right?
Jeff Samardzija, Jimmy Clausen. I mean, the list goes on.
I could go on for minutes if you needed me to.
Tommy Reese and that noodle arm that could barely throw the ball 37 yards. I mean,
Brady Quinn.
God, there's so many of them.
I think back to the USC game. Notre Dame did give up yardage, but they also made some very volatile change momentum, change the game plays with their defense. They moved the ball really well against an improved USC defense on the road. I just think I like the roster of Notre Dame. I like Riley Leonard having some time to hopefully heal all of his bumps and bruises and come into this full strength. So I'll take Notre Dame.
Yes, hate that. I love Notre Dame here. I just think what we saw out of Indiana when they played teams with big, strong defensive lines was not that impressive this year. They got pushed around. Michigan game, Ohio State game. And I think
it's worth noting they still beat Michigan by like 7 points. They were up like 21-0.
Oh, crushed them by seven. A legendary Michigan team this year. Definitely put that on the resume.
Top
of the resume. I don't think Ohio State's really any good either. So
we'll get to
we can get to that. No, I think they're fine. But I think Notre Dame's a more complete team. I've been more impressed with Riley Leonard down the stretch. I think he's kind of like rounded into form as more of a dual threat quarterback and not just like kind of a glorified battering ram, you know, running threat. They're going to be pretty healthy. So
what? Big one?
That's why those games are on TNT. Continue.
Gotcha. Give me Notre Dame. Love it.
All right, game number two. We move to Saturday. This is a nooner in Happy Valley. SMU, the ACC runner-up, is at Penn State. The Nittany Lions are favored by 8.5. I'm going to take the Fighting James Franklins against my better judgment.
I would not have called this.
Maybe an emotional hedge against my like Rhett Lashley, the chariot of his career that I've hooked myself to. I'm going to take Penn State again, home. Maybe the weather plays a factor. I haven't looked at the forecast, but it took SMU a while to get going in Charlotte. In a cool Charlotte in the ACC title game, not necessarily a frozen tundra, but
People like Dallas doesn't have winter. I mean, it's cold.
Right, they do, and they struggle with it famously.
Do they famously struggle with it?
The world talks depending about. On who your power provider is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dallas, the entity of Dallas. I thought you meant SMU specifically. Like this is a famous SMU weather struggle.
Well, and also maybe a foreshadowing here. We saw Bryson DeChambeau walking around in like full length body part parka in Las Vegas this evening while the sun was still out. So again, SMU not doing well.
Was it a Reebok body Reebok parka?
It was
I didn't see the Reebok emblazoned on it. I saw his own personal badge and whatever Live Golf logo was. Anyway. Love SMU in the cold based on what I've been seeing over the past couple of weeks. I also think Penn State's got a much better defense than Clemson does. SMU figured some stuff out in terms of moving the ball and finishing drives against Clemson. I think SMU's going to be – or Penn State's going to be able to create more disruption, more turnovers, things of that nature.
Yeah. 8.5 seems like a big line. I don't necessarily know that I would say that Penn State's defense is much better than Clemson's, probably better than Clemson's. I think I'll go SMU. Oregon was able to use a similar attack and pick on Penn State last week. I think SMU's quarterback, having been under the bright lights last week, hopefully doesn't come out as flat as – not even as flat. I don't even know if it was all his fault last week. They just, like – kind of got jumped on by Clemson early in that game and did a great job getting themselves back in the game and sticking to it. I think they believe so. I'll go with them just based on like offensive upside. Penn State seems pretty bottled up sometimes, and I don't love that. Bo Prabula is in the transfer portal, and James Franklin is grousing about the problems with college football as if he like can't let the young man stay on the team while he's in the transfer portal, as if he doesn't have complete control of the situation.
As if he doesn't take full advantage of
the Yeah. Who just signed a guy from USC, a five-star defensive tackle from USC out of the portal. But don't worry, college football has a big problem. So just because he's a faker, I'm going to take SMU.
I love that reasoning. I'm going to take SMU for that exact reason.
Because James Franklin's a faker.
He's a faker. No, I think
James
I'm going to...
Faklin.
Nice.
I was ready with it.
I'm gonna choose to believe that SMU got its like nervy first half out of its system in the ACC title against Clemson. The SMU I saw in the second half was fun as hell, and if they show up, I'll feel very good about this pick. But I am also going to take SMU. I'm glad the game is at noon. I think that gives SMU a better chance rather than a night game. And Logan and I noticed this. Both this game and the next game we're going to talk about, the 4 p.m. game, are on TNT and HBO Max, not on ABC or any of the motherships, which is very funny because the games on ABC at the time are the FCS national semifinals, which are booting the two of the first four games of the 12-team playoff.
They respect ball.
Yeah.
Love it. TNT snaked in there and bought some rights. Good
for them. Put them Dakotas on there. Got to do it.
All right, game number two of Saturday is at 4 p.m. Clemson is at Texas, where the Horns are favored by 11.5. Logan.
Oof. Boy, this is two teams I love to hate on right here. I'll take Texas at home with some gadgety screen plays, bust it wide open. I don't know. I think Texas got punched in the mouth by Georgia again. They're going to be licking their wounds and wanting to put up something big here. I don't think Clemson's that good. I think Texas is better than Clemson. I don't know. I mean, to me, this is it seems like kind of a big line, but at the same time, maybe the talent discrepancy would lend itself to be that. So give me the home Texas team with a big dominating SEC win.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Texas.
We knew that.
Obviously. I concur. I don't think Clemson is very good. I think they were more ready for the start of the ACC championship than SMU was, and then they basically held on for dear life.
They're kind of like Indiana. They lost their games against good teams. And otherwise were pretty mid. Did crushed Illinois, let me tell you.
I did.
Put that on the resume.
But I also think the matchups aren't quite as good. I think Texas has a lot of talent in the front seven of the defense that Clemson's going to struggle with. And, you know, somehow contain world-renowned dual-threat quarterback Cole Klubnik.
Cade
Klubnik. Sorry, wrong super white name. I think Texas is just better. I do wish that line was like a point lower, but I think Texas will cruise in this one.
Ooh. All right, I'll make it a consensus. Horns up, baby.
The consensus is what, 6-0 in their last
six games?
We're trending. Let's go.
Yeah, I just think this is a roster mismatch. I do think Dabo's a better big game coach to this point than Sark is, but I don't think Dabo has enough pieces to be his full self in a big game here. So I'll take Jimmy's and Joe's and home field atmosphere.
Fully realized Devo.
Yeah.
He only morphs into Joel Osteen.
Now, I'm sure he's going to have plenty of adversity, whether real or manufactured, to bring into this game.
Sure.
He just seems like he doesn't have his fastball in that department anymore. So give me the horns. And we're going to finish up Saturday, 8 p.m. Tennessee is at Ohio State, where the Buckeyes are favored by 7.5. Jason.
Oh, man. I'm going to take Tennessee. I think Ohio State has real problems when...
Namely Ryan Day.
They have real problems in the head coaching position.
Two real bad body language head coaches going at it in this game.
It's a great point. But I think that they run into real problems when they're up against similar talent. I think that that Oregon game was kind of the exception to the rule. But, yeah, I don't know that Ohio State has all the weapons, but I don't think they know how to use it. And that, gosh, that just kills you so much more than you would think it would.
But what about Tennessee this year makes you think they could take advantage of that? They should have lost to Florida. They did lose to Arkansas. They like have been like not awesome. They got killed by Georgia, didn't they?
Well, so this almost seems like a passive issue for Tennessee. If Ohio State isn't putting its pieces in the right place, Tennessee doesn't really have to do anything to exploit that. They're just fortunate that Ohio State is not doing things the right way.
Yeah, I think we might be making too much of one Ohio State game. Is I think the point I'm coming at it from. Like Ohio State, very clearly Ryan Day like
I think
gets extreme lemon booty when he plays Michigan, but like. Yeah. Like, the game against Oregon, in my mind, matters way more than their game against Michigan.
You think?
I think.
All right. Now, see, in my mind, that's like 3.5 months ago.
Yeah, it's probably like 2.5, but yeah.
It's a difference of a whole month, Jason.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyways, the moral of the story is, I would not pick Tennessee money line, but I do think.
No one's forcing you to.
Yeah.
Right.
So
no, it's an interesting point. Like I was just looking at all eight of these teams to me are kind of like birds of a feather on like
very good before.
You can make a very clear argument on what their specific flaw is, right? So not specific flaw, but like you can pick at you can pick some nits with all these teams. Which is kind of the point, right? It's 12-team playoff, so you gotta put 12 teams in it. That's the thing about the 12-team playoff is you have to put 12 teams.
That's what people forget is that there are 12 teams in the 12-team playoff.
Do we need to hear from the sponsors real quick?
Yeah, it looks like we do.
All right, we'll hear from the sponsors and be back with my pick.
All right, thank you once again and always into perpetuity to the sponsors. I'm going to take Ohio State here. Logan, kind of like you mentioned, I don't trust Tennessee in terms of being able to take advantage or maximize opportunity when it is presented to them. I've seen so many deep shots missed, throws missed, just like chances where you had a chance to wrest control of a game away from your opponent left by the wayside. I think on the road in December in the Horseshoe, there's no hex on this matchup in Ryan Day's, you know, kind of orbit, right? It's even not Midwest the game. Magic. They're not, you know, the stakes are the stakes. This isn't a rivalry. It's just a playoff game. And Ryan Day has proven that he can win playoff games. So I will trust Ryan Day to win by two scores here. If he doesn't, and God forbid if he loses this game, the carousel could get exciting.
Man,
that'd be wild.
This year or next.
Do we think, before Logan picks, do we think if they are down at halftime, do they get booed off the field going into the locker room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he gets fired if they lose. Like,
I think it's probably true.
Yeah.
Which would be wild.
Things would go.
I would take no joy in reporting this.
And Bill Belichick would be just tied in knots at that point. You know, he wouldn't know what to do. I'm gonna take Ohio State too. I guess for me, I think I trust the depth of the roster and the toys and the sort of look themselves in the mirror that hopefully they've done since the Michigan game. I don't think they'll get seduced into playing like man ball against Tennessee necessarily. Tennessee's been playing a little bit better of late, but you know, in some of the games where you know you needed to see them show up, you didn't. I guess they did beat Alabama, so congratulations to Tennessee for getting that done. That was hard fought, but I've been sort of down on Tennessee more so than I've been down on Ohio State.
I'm down on both of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, the vibes are not awesome for Ohio State, but like I just think, I think Tennessee, their defense is really good, and they've done a good job of like winning gutted out games. But yeah, so is Ohio State, and Ohio State has better players across the board. So
yeah, my big worry here, other than Ryan Day, is like I'm still worried kind of about Will Howard.
Will Howard. To just
make things, try and inflate the importance of things, or like inflate his impact on the importance of things.
Yeah.
Like I just watch these like these interviews he does, and it's very much like just so big and you know, brought this, that, and the other. And it's
there's a size box where his heart used to be, you know.
Have you considered relaxing and watching some film? Like maybe just like letting the game come to you rather than trying to like go manufacture the entire victory yourself. Just a thought I've had.
Yeah, so, I would be interested if we ever get like a slightly more, I don't want to say cohesive, but like I think the Chip Kelly offensive coordinator experience has been a little underwhelming this year. I would have expected.
It's been so inconsistent.
Like, yes.
There are flashes of it where you're like, oh, hell yeah. This is worth every penny.
It seems like they go away from stuff that, like, I mean, they'll force feed Jeremiah Smith the ball and score touchdowns. And it's just like he will inexplicably just not touch the ball again.
There'll be red zone trips where it's like, did he spill coffee on his play sheet and he just can't read it and he's short-circuiting like, right I now? Mean, like, what is going on in that?
There's some individual things, I suppose, that are like I don't think Will Howard is like a perfect, like he's not Dwayne Haskins, he's not any of the like Ohio State quarterbacks that like he's not Justin Fields, right?
Correct.
Like and that's fine, but. You know, that probably contributes a little bit to it. West Virginia quarterback just like stumbled, like really looked like he was about to get beheaded during a little scramble there. Let's see if you see this again. Great flow on this kid too. But yeah,
Greer, though.
Right. It is not sadly one love. I'll never quit Will Greer. So yeah, I'm curious, but I am also interested to see like how sour the look on Heupel's face is if like they're just getting blown out in this game, because he is an all-time
all-time grumpy Gus.
Wears it on his face pretty hard when things aren't going well. So the winner of this game gets Oregon, FYI. The winner of Clemson, Texas gets Arizona State. Congrats to them. The winner of Indiana, Notre Dame gets Georgia, and the winner of SMU, Penn State gets Boise State. So intriguing matchups on the horizon.
Can't wait. They're at West Virginia.
We got a couple of NFL games on Saturday as well.
Boy.
I mean, the parlays are going to get a workout.
Full day of football.
But we already mentioned North Dakota State and South Dakota State.
Jordan, we've engaged in some preliminary negotiations to go see Santa at the Bass Pro Shops, which is a tremendous sentence that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that happens. But
we also did we tracked down Rich Rod. He is currently in the booth with the talent.
Yes, Rich Rod is in the booth with
a gentleman named Mike Monaco.
There was a Mike Monaco there.
Yeah.
Calling this game, not the A team for the Frisco Bowl. They've got them in Tampa studying up on the Gators in Tulane.
Well, one of the A team is now head coach at UNLV. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And I think half of that same A team is getting ready for TGL season or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, he is.
With SVP.
So. Love that for him.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, so we got some playoff games this weekend.
Yeah.
And then we have more bowl games next week. We won't get into those now, but they will come hot and heavy. We have Christmas next week as well.
That's true.
How would you rate the temperature of your Christmas spirit right now, Logan?
Oh, what would you say, Jason? 78?
Yeah, he's been solid. I'd grade him out. He's certainly somewhere in the B range.
Is it passing grade?
Yeah, absolutely. He's done pretty well. I'm proud of him.
I may ask your wife for yeah. another opinion.
She'll give you the real answer. No, I mean, listen, I think it's been good. I've participated well, and I've
been to all the events on time.
We haven't like done a ton of events. For whatever reason, Christmas snuck up on us this year. I mean, I know people say that every year. I'm sure that's like an old hat, but I think maybe having a late Thanksgiving was like Christmas is less than a month from Thanksgiving, which is pretty quick turnaround. So, and it's in the middle of the week too, which also is like not my favorite thing, but you know, that's okay. I saw a 2025 good holiday lineup though. A lot of Friday holidays, Christmas on Thursday, I think in 25. So
bangarang.
You know what that means? PTO for days, weeks and days. Maybe Santa will bring me a solo trip in 2025 to Stream Song. Ooh. Just during Christmas.
Full recharge at the Stream Song.
I need a full recharge. I need the massage package as well.
In case you were curious, the Wheel Route intern is no longer in the room.
Red light. If you can bring me the red light therapy package as well, that would be good. Daddy's trying to drop it in the slot.
That means a different thing in Europe, I think.
But... hey now. Cool. Jordan, what are you doing for Christmas?
I will be spending some amount of time with family in some various mixes, I believe. Not sure on the dates quite yet. A lot of moving parts in the Shanks these days, which is great.
Yes.
But we got to see all of the siblings and spouses and my nephew the weekend before Thanksgiving. So Christmas might be a little more spread out and sporadic, which is okay.
Copy. Very good. Love it. All right. Well, guys, are we done here?
I think we're good. I think we covered everything. A lot happened in the past week. We were efficient. I'm happy for us.
Shout out to the audio quality too. Thank you guys for bearing with us. We're conference calling tonight, you know.
A lot of MacGyver stuff going on.
It's true. Thank you for joining us on the Wheel Route Podcast. At the Wheel Route Podcast. With the Wheel Route Podcast here.
In the Wheel Route.
During the Wheel Route Podcast. You can find us online, Wheel Route Podcast. TheWheelRoute.com, is the website. You can send us emails to WheelRoutePodcast@gmail.com. We'll do our best to get back to you in a timely fashion. And, until we meet again, love you guys. Go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.